Greetings. You are listening to Habits into Health, bringing you 21st century approaches to personal growth and habit change. This particularly includes letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. I'm your host, Michael Ann Conley. In Habits into Health, we are all about forming a kind and loving goodbye to behaviors that are creating problems for yourself or others. And in this show, we enter the doorway to personal change through sensory experience and more, focusing on the whole self. This time, our topic is about behavior itself. But let's not just talk about it. Let's actually be in the action of tuning into our sensory experience. You don't have to do anything differently right now. There's nothing you need to fix or correct. We're just going to practice. Just let your attention go to something physical in you, something that stands out, something that's making itself apparent. It could be as simple as an itch, or an ache, a sense of warmth on your cheek, or a feeling of pressure in your shoulders. If you find yourself trying to figure out where you feel something, or wondering what I mean, then let your attention go to your forehead, above your eyes, between your eyes, around each temple to the side of your eyes, and even behind your eyes. Whatever sensory experience you're noticing now doesn't matter, because you don't have to do anything with it except to notice. You can do this if you're driving right now. Just notice your hands on the steering wheel. Feel the texture of the wheel against your fingers and the way that you're holding the wheel. If you're sitting at home or work, let your attention go to your back, or your bottom, or your legs against the chair or the couch. If you're walking, take in the impact of your stride against the ground, or the pavement, or the floor. Just give yourself permission to notice. From time to time in the show, I'll invite you to notice something in the moment. The first step in creating change is just noticing what is, because how can you change something if you don't know what it is that you're doing? In my own journey, personally navigating through my own issues initially, and then also as a health professional for almost, 30 years now, I've come across many different perspectives about how people change or don't. It doesn't matter if you want to say goodbye to a behavior that someone else says isn't a big deal. If you feel dissatisfied with yourself because you haven't handled your problem, then it's a big deal to you. And how you engage with yourself to handle this is a big part of what matters. What I discovered for myself is that when I landed on ways that worked for me, it changed my possibilities. It also helped me adjust my perspective and my attitude about making any future changes. I don't want to keep this to myself, so that's why I share what I've learned with clients and why I created Habits into Health to pass along what I've been fortunate enough to receive for myself. I'm pretty sure that I'm not very different from you. And I'm guessing if I could create changes for myself, then I hope by passing this on, it might work for you too. This is true whether your concern is about chewing your fingernails, stopping smoking, handling your anger differently, or dealing with blaming yourself for more than you should. In Habits into Health, we explore a variety of methods, perspectives, and approaches that support behavior change. A holistic approach invites inclusive ways of attending to ourselves. There's one holistic component that we've already addressed in this show, and I will continue to do so very consistently. It could tweak many of your assumptions because it involves putting the body at the foreground rather than settling for the same old beliefs that we all grew up with that say that thinking rules. It's not that thinking isn't important. We're each of us thinking right now. You and I'm thinking as I'm speaking, and you're thinking as you're listening. Thinking happens. But while we can use our ability to think about our situations, the building blocks of change are not to be found in good ideas, wishful thoughts, or positive affirmations, or even in routinely acting differently for a certain number of days in a row in the hopes of establishing new behavior. That's one popular method, the one that says doing something differently for 21 days establishes a new habit. Certainly trying those things can be worthwhile, and they may work for some people. If they haven't worked for you, either for long or at all, I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. It's simply that we've come to understand that change is not found in performing or pressuring in order to achieve some sought-after goal. Nor is success likely to happen by critiquing, judging, or punishing yourself for any results that leave you feeling unhappy. Change also doesn't come from trying to get rid of something you don't like. That approach is not only unfriendly and unkind, it's counterproductive because it doesn't work. It doesn't work in creating sustainable change. We just end up feeling bad about ourselves. And we can't have that, can we? Let me mention that you're listening to Habits into Health, where we're talking about holistic and somatic ways of nudging those habitual behaviors that get in the way of satisfaction and success. I'm your host, and my name is Michael Ann Conley. I've been really lucky to learn some things about behavior, and I'm happy to share this with you. If you want, check out habitsintohealth.com, a little website I've created as another place for this exploration. You can also find Habits into Health on Facebook. Okay, let's talk about behavior. All behavior serves a function. The question is whether the function that is served creates satisfaction for you in your life. Reorganizing how we make contact with ourselves and others, how we attune to our own subtle actions that sooner or later show up in more observable behavior, calls for something more. What we commonly call the body isn't just a vehicle to carry around from place to place what we call the mind. My understanding from pioneering somatic educator Stanley Kellerman is that we are each of us a process of changing shapes organized to create our own future. Let me say this in a different way. You are not an object aging in place over the course of time. You are a shape shifter. You are a living process, an evolving organism that changes shapes. Just look at a series of photographs of you from infancy forward, and this becomes obvious. You can choose to actively participate in this process, which makes you the creator of your own possibilities. Maya Angelou, the multi-talented poet and artist who has created many possibilities for herself that were not written on her birth certificate, has said, quote, "I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it," end quote. Even in handling what comes from the outside, we can be the masters of our own lives. In the Zen tradition, a koan is a statement of truth that one knows without having to think about it, and yet on the surface, it's paradoxical and puzzling. I often say, the obstacle is the path. What does this mean? This is certainly a koan, if ever there was one. What does it mean to you? To me, it says that facing and working through whatever blocks us in our journey is a key to making the whole journey worthwhile. Habits into Health focuses on ways you can turn your obstacles into paths that get you to success and satisfaction as defined by you. And as I've mentioned before, insight alone, while interesting, doesn't bring enough to the table when it comes to making adjustments in behavior. You can think about changing all you want, and you can have experiences that give you a sense of possibility, but behavior change doesn't happen without direct action on your own part. And action without deliberation, without full engagement, doesn't necessarily support you in sustaining your changes over time. So what is behavior in the first place? Usually, we think of actions or mannerisms that are really obvious. Consider the many behaviors you engage in every day. What you do in the morning before you go about your day, for instance. Getting up, brushing your teeth, using the toilet, showering or bathing, dressing, eating, walking to your car or a bus, or checking your email. These and other daily routines are all behaviors, and they're all pretty visible and knowable. No secret. But these obvious and visible behaviors are only the very tip of the iceberg. Other levels of behavior are less apparent. Now here's an opportunity to notice what you're doing right now. Just check in. You're probably breathing. That's a given. From time to time, you're probably blinking your eyes. Perhaps you're tightening your jaw. Maybe you're smiling. Just take in this moment and notice. How are you sitting or standing? Where do you feel sensation right now? Even as simple as feeling the air as it enters your nostrils in this breath that you are taking right now. There are a multitude of activities that you engage in every moment. These are all behaviors too. And underneath them are ever more subtle layers of behavior that you and most of us don't even consider, think about, or even feel. With this being the case, no wonder it seems so hard to change a behavior that you want to say goodbye to. Most of us are dealing only with our ideas about behavior, not our behaviors themselves. In fact, we are each of us, you and I, hardwired to create patterns of behavior that are routine and relatively invisible to what we call the mind. Oh, the mind. That is the part of our body located between our ears and behind our eyes. Earlier, when I suggested that if you were trying to figure out what you were experiencing, you could put your attention on your forehead. That was an invitation to make a physical connection between your thoughts and physical experience. Behind your forehead is the part of your body that's called the prefrontal cortex. And its job is thinking. Other words are reasoning, problem solving, planning. In science, it's sometimes called the executive function. You can use your prefrontal cortex to serve behavior change. But it's got more important things to do than manage every behavior required in living your life. So, in fact, habituation is the default, and this is true for all mammals. You couldn't get through a day, an hour, or even a minute without behaviors or habits that serve you. Without this natural organismic ability to habituate, you'd have to relearn everything before you could get out of bed in the morning, much less go through the rest of the day. The movies Groundhog Day and 50 First Dates gave us a taste of what that kind of existence might be like on some level. Now, just to keep your prefrontal cortex in balance about all this, let me invite you in this moment to let your attention go to something physical in you that stands out, that's making itself apparent. It could be a sense of warmth on your face, or a feeling of tension in your back. It could be as simple as an itch or a scratch. If you find yourself trying to figure something out, let your attention go to your forehead, above your eyes, between your eyes, around each temple, to the side of your eyes, behind your eyes. Now, if right now you're in a location where it's appropriate, you could even bring your hands to rest on your face or your forehead just to make contact. It turns out that thinking is a behavior. When you think, there are physical patterns that demonstrate your thinking. You're listening to Habits into Health, where we explore 21st century approaches to personal growth and habit change. You can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley. Thanks for joining.